Okay, this morning's the last Sunday morning of the year, and we're going to worship today and get ready for the new year. But let's begin tonight, or today, with a word of prayer and prepare ourselves to worship together. Thank you for coming in face to face and worship together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Savior that we have. The Heavenly Father, you have prepared not only eternity for us, but life right now. That we, Heavenly Father, can live each day with joy, with assurance, confidence, and to grow in the Word of God. And Father, we pray this morning that we will grow in the Word of God. Thank you so much for our teachers. We praise you in Christ's name and for Christ's glory. Amen.
All right. If you would, if you have a hymnal with you, would you turn to hymn number 11? Hymn number 11 in our songbook. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore Him, and we'll sing the first and last verse.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore Him. Praise Him, angels in the height. Sun and moon rejoice before Him. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise the Lord, for He hath spoken worlds, His mighty voice obeyed, law which ever shall be broken, for their guidance hath He made.
3.
Worship, honor, glory, blessing, Lord,
good morning, everybody. That was awesome. Thank you. Challenging from a song standpoint. Lots of Roberto or vibrato, whatever they call that stuff. That different notes. Lots of different notes. If you are fans of The Voice like myself, you would have appreciated that. All of the ups and downs and over and outs there. So, welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. My name is Chris Daig. I will be teaching this morning. We are so excited to have Pastor Maddox, believe me, I am so excited Pastor Maddox is coming back to teach this week. So looking forward to that. Please be in prayer for Pastor Maddox as he does his preparations. And he'll be teaching on Thursday. We will have a Thursday at 7 p.m. is what time we'll be starting. Please join us face-to-face, online, as we take out 2020. I don't want to say take it out. It's already kind of been taken out. So as we shepherd it out and shepherd in the new year together, and I believe communion will be part of this as well.
Yes.
Okay. So take communion with us as we bring in the new year on Thursday night, 7 p.m. We would love to have as many people as possible. We have room for you. Please come in and join us for that service and welcome Herman Maddox back to the pulpit. So looking forward to that. And then next Sunday,
yes,
you'll be teaching as well?
Second class.
Pastor Myers will be doing this class next Sunday. So this is my see y'all later service. We're going to make it exciting and crazy, and we're going to spend some time in the Word this morning. Prayer requests. We have lots of things going on. We are a small in numbers inside the assembly, but large in impact through the power of our Lord. And so we have lots of things going on in the world, so please be in prayer for our technology, getting out to all over the place, our missions that we support. We have missions over in Africa, we have missions in Pakistan, we have missions in Mexico that we support. And so please be in prayer for all of those folks that where they can get into their countries. Yes, sir.
I would just like to mention that we did have a collection for Pastor Linus Akpa in Nigeria.
Yes,
the church donated $250, and there were about another $250 in individual donations, and I got that money to him last week, and he's been posting on Facebook. He's just thrilled. They went and converted a bunch of people. Gave them signs about believing in Jesus, and they went running out into the streets.
Beautiful.
To tell others about Jesus. They didn't have a seminary degree or anything. They were out there witnessing.
Yeah. The crazy part was the signs were in English, and nobody speaks English over there. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea what the signs were in, but that's awesome. That's kind of like the shepherds, you know, when they saw the baby Jesus and ran out into the streets and proclaimed his name. So how awesome. So awesome. Thank you for that update. So much more going on around the world that we need to continue to support. A humble assembly, but we do what we can, and through the power and the leading of the Word and of our God, who is so awesome. Please be in prayer for Thomas. He's going to be going in for a bronchial scope on Thursday morning. Get things checked out. Figure out what's going on with his lungs. Thursday at 11 a.m. He's got that scheduled. Please be in prayer for Brian St. Clair and the St. Clair family. I think they're dealing with the COVID. I don't know if, hopefully that's public knowledge, but it is now. If you guys are watching, we're in prayer for y'all.
Is it both of them, Chris?
I think it's just Brian. Just Brian. So please be in prayer for Brian. I have another friend, Tim, from a prayer group that I'm in with a group of men over in Wiley. He's got COVID. We got the notice on, I guess it was Monday morning. We had prayer group on Friday, and they're like, hey, you might want to, but we were well away from him, so we do the social distancing thing. We pray at a distance.
Really interesting was last Sunday they were going to come to church.
Yeah.
Tell them about what happened, Pat.
Yeah, the Sinclairs were on their way to church, and they had a flat tire.
Right.
And they had to get their car fixed, so they went on back home. Monday he was...
tested positive?
Well, he was good.
Yeah.
And Jennifer said, God protects you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. That's kind of the message this morning. We'll be talking about you are God and I am not. And that is just, I mean, we would have been mad and kicking the tire literally. And, you know, I'm sure maybe a word or two that would not be all that gratifying or glorifying to our Lord might have come out of their mouth as they're sitting there on the highway. But he took them home and kept us safe. So thank you to our Lord for that. Yes, ma'am.
Also include in that prayer list, our granddaughter Elle has COVID, and that her parents don't get it because they have a business that's got to be kept running, and they're the only two that can do it at this time. So please put that on the prayer list.
Definitely.
What about Judith? What about Kelly?
Kelly is much better. It's Tammy. And Kelly was the one I was most concerned because he had so many. But Tammy now has pneumonia. She went from COVID, and I mean, very, very sick. And now pneumonia. And so she's still just weak. But you suffer a long time even after, even with Kelly, he's still weak. But they both checked negative on the COVID. But we'll know more about what's going on with Tammy's lung tomorrow. She's had a chest X-ray.
Are the kids still with them?
They left no, Christmas Eve they left. And because we'd had them like 2 weeks. And
you were done. We love the kids, but
we had such a nice Christmas day. It was so quiet.
That's the beauty of grandkids, is you're supposed to be able to
give them back.
Back.
That's right. We love you. But we don't need you living with us. No, absolutely. Be in prayer for the kids as well as they go back into that house, and that they are safe, and that they don't wear their parents flat out, especially if they're already kind of exhausted from fighting the battle. So, y'all, we're in the battle every day. We are all in the battle every day, whether it's COVID, whether it's all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world today. And so constant prayer for each other in this congregation, constant prayer for those that are challenged in their health. Any other prayer requests this morning that we want to talk about? Please continue to be in prayer for Kit and for Phil, and on that, continuing on the teaching. And as I said, Pastor Maddox, yes, sir.
Just a note about my mother.
Yes.
I know that many in this church have asked about her and have certainly prayed for her comfort. Mom is only awake. She's awake probably less than an hour a day, mm-hmm. and that's just the time. Without hospice, will not say, you know, we think she only has this much time left or anything like that. But they keep saying every day that they. Checking on, they're implying that any time now she could pass on. So
okay,
I appreciate you praying for her comfort.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and peace for you all. We know we know the Lord has a plan, but we still grieve. Yes.
And please pray for my family in Thailand. My uncle passed away, and his only son are stuck in Australia and weren't able to get back to England. So they ended up having the Catholic, so they have a Missa, a Mass, without him and his family now. So he's trying to get back there and sort things out.
Was your young uncle, was that expected or not expected?
He had weak heart from the suffer of the tuberculosis from years past, but didn't really expect that it was going to be so weak that he ended up just feeling like he wanted to lie down. But his wife kind of expected something wrong and called the ambulance, but this is Thailand, so it doesn't come that fast. By the time the ambulance got to the house, it's already gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We will be in prayer for your family, Julie. And for yours, Brian, for y'all. So, as I said, lots going on. So, public service announcements. We've already announced the Thursday night. We'll be having our lesson here, Pastor Maddox. It'll be the New Year's and Communion. And then next Sunday, we will be on a normal schedule at 9:30 in the morning and 10:45. So, both of those. Any other prayer requests? I have one prayer request. Our dog is down for the count right now. We're not sure what's going on, so if you don't mind being in prayer for our dog. We kind of like him. We like him a lot. So he went to the emergency room yesterday, and we're trying to figure out what's going on with our pup. So
I'm sure you all understand, no food like we normally would.
Yes.
But we would have communion.
And one lesson in communion.
Huh?
One lesson or two lessons in communion? One lesson?
On New Year's Eve.
Okay. One lesson. One lesson. Communion.
Communion.
No food.
And then you're home.
Then you go home and...
By midnight, right?
Yeah. Okay. 7 to midnight.
12:05.
So if you speed, you can get home for the ball drop. Just kidding. All right. Contributions. As we know, we live in the devil's world. It takes money to do things. It takes contributions from y'all. As I love Pastor Hentz and the way, you know, exchanging beans for gold. And so I'm not going to declare that what comes out of my mouth is gold other than the fact it's from the Holy Spirit. But keeping this thing open, keeping our doors open, keeping the lights on, keeping the technology going, taking care of those that take care of us through the study and teaching of the Word of God. It takes contributions, and it's your contributions. So I'm pointing to Leslie. I'm sure already has the links up. I don't need to go through that again. But please, we have, what, 4 days? 4 days left of the year. And so if you're doing your tax planning at the end of the year, a great place to contribute is right here for the continued spreading of the Word of God. God loves a gracious giver. With that being said, let's pray, and then let's open the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. You are God, we are not. And you have a plan, and that plan is going to play out, Father. And as we open your Word this morning, just help us to be encouraged of all the things that you have going on. Help us to be able to see the things that you are doing through the challenges, through the opportunities, through the fun, through the crazy, through all the things that are happening. You have a plan, and we get to live in that plan, Father. We just pray for those that are challenged with their health, with the COVID, with Thomas, with Brian's mom. Father, we lift them up to you. We lift their families up to you for comfort and peace. Father, we pray for Julie's family, her cousin, who's trying to figure out how to get there to take care of her her uncle's family. And Father, we just give them safe travels and give them peace to know that you've got things under control. And Father, we just we lift this church up to you. We lift up the fact that that you allow us to gather together, that you protect us by sending people home with flat tires who might be getting us sick. You know how it works. We don't. And we are so glad that we're not responsible, and you are, because you are the perfect God. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning, and we ask that the Holy Spirit will speak through me this morning, and that the things that I say will be glorifying to you and edifying to each one of us. In Christ's name, amen. So, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, because with Pastor Mattis coming back next week, I didn't want to start another epistle or a book, and plus I needed some additional study time before we started something like that. So this is going to be a lesson called "You Are God and I Am Not." And so this morning, this came to me from a song that Lori and I were talking about. This is actually the title of a song by a man named Howard James Five, and FYVIE. Now, I am not recommending the song. In fact, I listened to it and was not all that impressed. But I'm not sure I'm supposed to say that on Facebook, but I did anyway. There are other versions that are out there, but it's the title got my attention. You are God and I am not. And so I wanted to spend some time with that this morning as we look at 2020, reflect back on the things that happened this year, and as we look forward into 2021. And Laura and I were talking the other day as Christmas was approaching and looking at all the things that were happening in the world. Pandemic. Everybody's heard of that, right? COVID. I don't think I'd ever used the word pandemic until March of last year, and now I've used it like 50,000 times, right? And we talk about it every single day. It was not even on the radar, and then the next day, it's all anybody could talk about for 9-10 straight months, right? Natural disasters, wildfires that are going on in California, earthquakes, hurricanes, snowstorms now in the New England area, and everybody's looking around going, what is going on? Oh, it's global warming. No, it's climate change. No, it's whatever the case might be. Social unrest. Social unrest, that's the politically correct term for rioting in the streets, right? And it's going on in our country. Unemployment rates because of the pandemic and because of businesses shutting down and infringement on our freedoms that we have never seen before in this country. Wars that are now going on across the world. Politics. What a brutal season for politics that we just went through. And it's not over. Oh, by the way, the presidential election was like a month and a half ago, and we're still fighting it in the courts. Bombings that happened on Christmas Day. I don't know if you guys saw what was going on in Nashville. Nashville had a major bomb explosion. Somebody drove an RV full of explosives into 2nd Street in downtown Nashville, and it went off. Wow. Thankfully, there weren't a ton of people killed or injured. In fact, I don't know if anybody was killed. They're still trying to figure that out. But there was some people that were injured, and the police and firemen were running towards the scene. So they're trying to figure out what was going on there. And so when you look back And you start taking a look at 2020, you kind of get this, you know, I've got a team of people that I work with at Capital One that one of the ladies had a shirt, and I thought it was really funny because it said 2020, and then it had, you know, four empty stars and one star, and then underneath it, it says, do not recommend, right? So 2020, one star, do not recommend. For your avid online shoppers, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Pastor Maddox is looking at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But it was a 2020, a do not recommend. You know, it's like, this is, it's customer, right? Customer feedback, right? Folks would say in 2020, do not recommend. And yet, if you look around and you see why, people have lost hope. People in 2020, people have lost hope at levels that just would blow your mind, right? It's not surprising in a secular world where over the last, you know, 100 years, even in this country, we've tried to do everything we could to make this utopian environment in the secular world to make everybody happy. Everybody has everything they need. Everybody's equal. Everybody has all the stuff. There's freedom from fear and freedom from want and freedom. Oh, what a beautiful thing that I think that was FDR that put all that out. Hogwash, y'all. That's hogwash. But it's not surprising in a secular world. If you put your hope in the world becoming a better place and a better place and a better, oh, we can make it better and we can make it better and we can make it better. Or if you put your hope in your circumstances getting better, oh, this is the year that things get better, man. The stock market was screaming in January and February, and we're setting new records, and unemployment was the lowest it has ever. Oh, circumstances in my life have changed. I'm going to make a mint. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to have everything I need. And then, boom, pandemic. The wheels fall off of all of it, right? Because the circumstances were just that. They were circumstances. If you look at the circumstances and the environment and the way things look in 2020, this would be a real downer year. This would be a real downer. I mean, do not recommend. One star, 2020. Stay away from it. Let's move on. And everybody's talking about, oh, it's time to put 2020 behind us and let's move on. But we as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have no excuse for losing hope. None. We have no excuse for losing hope. Our hope is in a faithful, loving, heavenly Father. If you look at Matthew 24, 6 and 7, if you'll turn there with me, we're going to do not quite as much jumping around as last time, but a little bit, as last week, I should say. Matthew 24, 6 and 7. So, I usually write my verses down so I can avoid the gaps in the thing here, but I didn't. This one was a last minute add. So, Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. Y'all can turn there. And y'all, so thank you for the prayers. I had my eye surgery on Monday. It went extremely well, so praise report on that. I still have a little bit of, as you can see, I'm not wearing glasses today. Which is really cool, except it's still a little unstable because they put a new lens in, and if I move my head too quick, the lens actually flutters like this. And so if I all of a sudden have no ability to read, I'll have somebody else come up and read my notes for me. But Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these events are the beginning of labor pains. In the last couple of weeks, we talked about, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the coming, the first advent, right? And looking forward to the coming of Christ in his humanity. The Messiah, the Savior. We talked about the first advent. And then last week we talked about the second advent and the coming of Christ in his return in full glory. And this is the beginning. This is what he's talking about here is his return in his full glory. And there will be wars and rumors of wars. And there will be famines. And there will be earthquakes. God tells us what's going to happen. He is God. And he told us what's going to happen. For the Christians out there who stand around and look at each other like, man, why is all this bad stuff happening? Y'all, read the Bible. It tells us it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. Right? We are believers. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is not in circumstances. Our hope is in a living Savior who will return to shepherd in His glorious kingdom. Our hope is in the resurrected Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. Our hope can be seen every day in the midst of chaos for those who have eyes to see and for those who have eyes that are fixed on the things above. And so as we look back on 2020, we could take a look at all the things in 2020 and we could be focused on all the things that happened on the earth. We can take a look at all the things that happened to mankind, and why for a second should we be shocked at any of the things that happened? And we certainly should not lose hope. So today I wanted to take a few minutes and look at you are God, the sovereignty of God, the history of the world and His sovereign will, and where do we fit in? Now, I'm not getting into a whole lot of detail. I now only have about 40 minutes. But I wanted to spend a little bit of time kind of setting out a reminder that God is God. And even when we don't understand, He is in control. And we should never lose hope. Even we have no idea. I think of Julie and Brian driving over here last week. Sorry, Jennifer and Brian. Wrong set of Brians.
We only have five Brians.
There's only five Brians. So I got that one wrong. So chalk that one up. But Jennifer and Brian driving over here last week, I'm sure that as they were driving over, they were not overly pleased at the fact that they had a flat tire and sitting on the side of the road. But God had a plan, and He knew exactly why. And we can look back with eyes to see how God works, and it's pretty amazing. So I want to take a look a bit today with regards to the sovereign will of God. And we start with a few assumptions as we begin today. First, in order to understand the will of God, you've got to believe there's a God. And you got to make the decision, right? Is there a God? As we look around in Romans chapter 1, it talks about there's no excuse not to believe that there's a God. I mean, look at all of creation. Look at all the things that are going on. Look at all that He has made, and you can see that there is a God. There is no excuse. Second assumption is we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because without those two things, you need to go out and figure out how to save the world. If you don't have those two things, please, by all means, work as hard as you can to fix everything in this world, because it's all you got. If you have those two things, focus on those two things. We believe that the love of God sent His Son for us. We believe that His Son died on the cross for the sins of all the world. We believe that the Son died on that cross, was buried, and was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We believe that all who believe in Jesus as their Savior will receive a resurrection body at the return of Christ and will live with Him in His kingdom for all eternity. We believe that God has a plan for all things, and His overall plan will play out throughout history. And as we prepare to make decisions around our goals for 2021, which I know Pastor Maddox has got a special going on that. I have no idea what he's going to talk about, so hopefully I don't steal any of your thunder. But as we prepare to make our decisions around our goals in 2021 and reflect on the past year, now is the time to make the decision that will truly impact your life for all eternity. If you haven't chosen Jesus Christ as your Savior, now is the minute. Now is the second. Right now. Choose Him. He's done it all. All we have to do is put our faith in Him. So, with those as the entering arguments, those are the assumptions that we are going to make, then what is sovereignty? It's a churchy term. It's not really a churchy term. It's just the only time it's ever used anymore is church, it seems like, at least in the United States, because we don't have a sovereign. So what is sovereignty? Webster's Dictionary, I'm going to use sovereign. So there's the noun version of the word sovereign. I don't have quite as much Greek and Hebrew background as a couple of my cohorts here, so I'm going to just stick with the English Webster's Dictionary. I find every time I try to get into the battle of foreign languages and ancient languages, I lose. So we're just going to go with Webster's, and it says sovereign. What is sovereign? The noun version, one possessing or held to possess supreme power. God is sovereign. He holds the supreme power, one that exercises supreme authority, an acknowledged leader. Now, that one seems kind of anticlimactic. If you have the other two, it's kind of assumed with the third one, right? So, sovereign, one that possesses supreme power and exercises supreme authority. The adjective kind of sounds like the noun, but possessed of supreme power, a sovereign ruler, unlimited in extent, absolute, enjoying autonomy as independent, and relating to or characteristic or befitting a supreme ruler, royal. Our God is sovereign. He is the supreme power. He is the supreme authority. He is totally independent, and He is, yes, royal. So what does the Bible say about the sovereignty of God? Let's start at the beginning with Genesis 1. Let's move back to Genesis 1:1. God is the creator. So in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. I'd love to just stop there for dramatic effect. In the beginning, God. Let's start there. He is in the beginning. He is the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was a formless and desolate emptiness, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Supreme power. Then God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. God is the creator of all things. Back to our definition, He holds the supreme power. He is absolute. He is independent. God didn't get together with His cohort of buddies and find out whether He should create light. God said, "Let there be light." And in His authority, there was light. He is the creator. Isaiah 45:5. Starting at verse 5, I should say. Okay. Isaiah 45:5. Everybody there? "I am the Lord, and there is no one else. There is no God except Me. I will arm you, though you have not known Me, so that people may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides Me. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating disaster. I am the Lord who does all these things. Drip down heavens from above and let the clouds pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up and salvation bear fruit and righteousness sprout with it. I, the Lord, have created it." Just love reading these, if nothing else, just to get the overwhelming wow of God. He is the creator. Isaiah 45:12, jumping down. "It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands, and I ordained all their lights. I am the Lord who does all these." God is the creator. He is the Lord. Colossians 1:16. You can turn there if you'd like, but I'm sure you guys are familiar with this. Colossians 1:16. "For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." And it's interesting that from the very beginning, man has lost sight of the Creator. Even back, I mean, Adam, what did he do? When he violated God's law, he lost sight of God, of the Creator. And we do it all the time. We get so focused on our stuff. We get so focused on circumstances. We get so focused on the things of this world that we lose sight of the Creator. And when we lose sight of the Creator, we begin to put idols in their place, in His place. Think about back in 2020. As we look back at 2020, it's pretty easy to see, for those with eyes to see, that God was removing the idols that have been established in our lives. Think about that for a minute. God removed the idols that we have put into our lives holistically as a society and individually as people. Our social life. When our social life is put in front of God, it's an idol. Man, you want to talk about shutting down the social life? You couldn't even go to a restaurant. I mean, thankfully in Texas, the social life is still strong. But the fact of the matter is that social life was shut down. I mean, closed up shop. You can't go to the restaurant. You can't go get your nails done. Right? The places that people would go for their social life, shut down. Health and beauty. Couldn't get your hair cut. Couldn't go to the gym. Couldn't do any of those things that, you know, to make yourself beautiful. The whole cosmetic surgery industry was on a halt. Now it's come back in full force, for the record. But it was shut down. God took it away. Finances. What happened on March 23rd? The stock market collapsed by like 40-something percent. That's a pretty big ding, considering it mirrored what happened in 1920-something or other, right, with the Great Depression. Finances blew up on people. Our idols were put aside. Sports. Goodness gracious. Sports came to a standstill. My boys were distraught. The idols that we put in front of God, God took away. So as we look at 2020, we could look at it and say, oh my gosh, we lost our sports, we lost our health stuff, couldn't get a haircut, couldn't go out to dinner, couldn't go get a glass of wine at the whatever. We had to sit in our house and talk to our families, and our kids were driving us crazy, and oh my gosh, it was horrible. Or we could say, you know what? Wow, God, you are amazing. You took away the social life. You took away my health and beauty things. You took away finances. You blew everything up that I had put all my dependence upon, and all the things that I controlled, you took away, and you said, no, pay attention to me. And then they tried to take away the church. And man, how encouraging is it to us as a nation, to us as a church family, to us as the body of Christ, to see the uproar that you started to see when they tried to take away the church. Now, there were bigger uproars trying to take away other things, but it was really cool to see that the body of Christ came together and said, no. And I even love it even more because here in Texas we said, hell no. And that's hell, fire, and brimstone, hell no. So that's Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. God took away the created things and put our attention back on Him. None of these things in and of themselves are wrong. There's nothing wrong with going and getting your nails done. There's nothing wrong with working out. There's nothing wrong with taking care of your finances. We have responsibilities. Men, our responsibility is to take care of our families, and that includes finances. Right? Those are things that we're responsible for. There's nothing wrong with enjoying sports. I mean, I know Terry and Rick are sitting here going, hold it, the Cowboys are playing at some point today. It's cool. It's fine. God allows these things for us to enjoy. He puts things into the world for us to enjoy as people. That's awesome. But the joy comes from God. He is the center. How did we as a society in the United States specifically respond to the removal of all of these idols? Depression, anger, stress. Man, how many people are stressed out because they can't watch the Cowboys game? Seriously, they're not very good. Don't worry about it this year, right? Look at 2021. But how many people are stressed over their finances? How many people are depressed because their social life is shut down? But what did God give to us? Prayer. God said, talk to me. God said, worship me. Stop worshiping those things and worship me. If we want to know the idols in our lives, we don't have to look much further than our credit card statements. It used to be a checkbook, but nobody uses checks anymore. So, you know, the honest to goodness, you want to know what your idols are in your life? Take a look at your credit card statement. It's a good place to take a look, to start. But God is the Creator. God is the Creator. He is sovereign. Second point to talk about, God has a plan and it will come about. He is God. For the last couple of weeks, we've looked at the prophecy of the coming of Christ and the Christmas celebration. We've looked at the prophecy of the second coming. The fulfillment of the first advent gives us hope in the second advent. It also demonstrates the sovereignty of God. Lamentations 3:37. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass? Unless the Lord commanded it, it is not from the mouth of the Most High that both adversity and good proceed. Sorry, let me read that one more time because I think I changed a couple of words around. It really changes the meaning. Lamentations 3, verse 37 and 38. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both adversity and good proceed? All things, good and bad, are from or are allowed by the Lord. He is sovereign. Everything that happens either comes from Him or is allowed by Him. We may do it. We may make a mess of it, but He allows it and or is involved in it. Bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. This is often hard to explain to a new believer or to our young people. Those who are angry at God for something bad that happened in their life. But good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. It happens. The world is full of sin. It's full of pain. It's full of hurt. But God uses these things to make His plan come about. Back to our entering argument. God, we believe in a God. He is the Creator. He has a plan. Do we trust Him? So the question is, if He eliminated all the pain, all the suffering, all of the bad stuff that happens, would we pay attention to Him anymore? Think about that for a second. When do we really fall to our knees and focus solely on Him? When everything else has fallen apart. Do we pray more when somebody is in trouble, hurting, depressed, or when everything is great? We pay attention to God more when things are falling apart. God takes a total mess and works it to execute His perfect plan in spite of us. Now that's the most fun part to me is to watch these folks that are running around trying to save the world. You know, and I'm picking on them. We all have our own thing. We all make our own messes, but that one just makes me laugh. It's like, seriously, you're going to stop the hurricanes. Right. Okay, let's see how that works out for you. But let's look at Daniel 4. Backing up to Daniel 4. Taking bad things and turning it into His glory. And by the way, bad things, that's how we define it. Right? That's a man's definition. So, Daniel chapter 4. A little context here. In verses 1 through 33, Babylon had conquered Jerusalem. And I know most of you know this, but in case somebody here who hasn't studied Daniel. Babylon had conquered Jerusalem and taken many of the young Israelites, men, back to Babylon. And Daniel was one of them. Daniel had caught the eye of the king by interpreting dreams. And this is a very high-level overview, y'all. So there's lots of pieces that I'm not covering here. Just to put it into context, Daniel had given glory to God of Israel by interpreting the dreams, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king, knew that Daniel had had an in with God. We'll put it that way, all right? That he could speak to God and God would speak to him. So King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a mighty tree that was cut down, was banded with iron. The roots left in the ground, but for seven periods it was no longer mighty, but left to the animals. The pride of Nebuchadnezzar had brought the wrath of God upon him, and he had lost his mind and wandered with the animals for 7 years. You guys remember the story, right? So that's the context. If you aren't familiar with this, please go to our website. This is a commercial. Please go to our website and look under the lessons area on springvalleybiblechurch.org. And look under the lessons, and you can find Pastor Maddox did an in-depth study of the entire book of Daniel a few years back, and it's awesome. So please, if you're not familiar with these stories, please go back and study Daniel. It is an amazing book to study. That being said, a couple of things to ponder before we read the passage. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be the king of Babylon. Remember, all things come from God. He allowed him to be the king of Babylon. He was an arrogant, unbelieving, vicious dictator. And he was a mess. Sum it all up. Nebuchadnezzar. If you don't believe me, he's the guy, remember, that was going to throw Daniel into the lion's den and have him eaten alive. And then Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego, they were going to burn him alive. So if you don't think he was vicious, we have a lot of vicious dictators in the world today. I don't know that I've heard any of them having people eaten by lions or burned alive, but not saying that they couldn't happen. God allowed the kingdom of Babylon under the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar to conquer Jerusalem and take captive God's chosen people. Right? And if God is sovereign, why would he do this? If God is the king, why would he do this? Why would he let bad things happen to good people? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Those are just the names that we know from the book, right? They're familiar. Why would he let this happen? And then we pick up in verse 34. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. But the end of that period, the seven-year period where Nebuchadnezzar was hanging out with the beasts, he'd lost his mind. But at the end of the 7 year of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eye towards the heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are of no account, but he does according to his will among the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can fend off his hand or say to him, what have you done? At that time, my reason returned to me and my majesty and splendor restored to me for the honor of my kingdom, and my state counselors and my nobles began seeking me out. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, little s, and surprising greatness was added to me. 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. The greatest kingdom at the time. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful leader in the world at this time. This is an extra-biblical reference here at history.com. It says, a new line of kings was established in Neo-Babylonian Empire, which lasted from 626 BC to 539 BC. The Neo-Babylonian Empire became the most powerful state in the world after defeating the Assyrians at Nineveh in 612. The Neo-Babylonian Empire was a period of cultural renaissance for the Near East. The point here is, this was the most powerful kingdom in the world and the most powerful king in the world, and he was humbled by our God, and he came out of his humility and declared to the world, I praise, exalt, and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. The sovereign God brought Nebuchadnezzar to his knees, the greatest king on the earth, and then restored him. The sovereign God used an arrogant, unbelieving, vicious dictator to praise, exalt, and honor the King of Heaven. Why? To show us he is God, and we are not. I love the way Kerry John puts it, just to show off. Because he can. He did it because he can, because he is God and we are not. Let's go back just a little bit further in this storyline. Let's look at the book of Job. You guys have heard of Job. I know you have. We're going to go back to the book of Job here, so I'll let you start turning back there. A bit of the backstory. Job was a righteous man, chapter 1. As part of the conflict between God and Satan, God allowed Satan to strike down Job's family. God allowed Satan to take away all of his wealth. God allowed Satan to afflict his body. The short version of the outcome, Job's friends were trying to figure out what sin Job had done to make God so mad. And Job became very angry at God. And then Job had a realization. You are God, and I am not. So let's take a look at how God responded to Job in this journey that he was going through of his body being afflicted, his finances being afflicted, his family being afflicted. Everything he had was afflicted by Satan. Because if you read if you understand the story, we're not going to get into, I don't want to give the entire, please, that's online as well. You can study the heck out of Job, and you should. This was a part of the angelic conflict that was going on here. The conflict was between God and Job, and it's important, God and Satan. The important part here is God knew what was going on, and Job didn't. He's God. Job 38, verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind." That in and of itself is impressive. Okay. "Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this who darkens the divine plan by words without knowledge?'" Remember, Job's trying to figure out, what in the world is going on here? What have I done? What of me? It was about Job, right? And he realized it wasn't. And God made sure to clarify that for him. "Who is this who darkens the divine plan by words without knowledge? Now tighten the belt on your waist like a man, and I shall ask you, and you inform me." I'm going to stop there for a second. So at this point, I think I would have cried. "Tighten your belt like a man and let me, God, ask you some questions." I got to use that with my boys sometime. "All right, fellas, it's time to tighten your belt and you're going to answer me some questions." I'm telling you, I'd have been in tears. I'd have been groveling. It wouldn't have been no answer. God was done with the whining at this point. God had had enough. Now it's God's turn to remind all of us that He is in charge. So picking up in verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who set its measurements? Since you know, or who stretched out the measuring line over it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors when it went out from the womb, bursting forth? When I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling bands, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and at the doors, and I said, 'As far as this point you shall come, but no farther. And here your proud waves shall stop.' Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and made the dawn know its place so that I would take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked would be shaken off from it?" Wow. Have you ever commanded the morning? So as we look back at 2020, and we go, oh, woe is me. Have we ever commanded the morning? Have we ever set the dawn in its place? In his second speech, the Lord asks Job specifically about power in relation to the creatures that he had made. And Job, directly aware of God as never before, responded by humbly submitting to God's sovereignty. And so if we'll pick up in chapter 42 and pick up at verse 1. So this is after God's second speech. I didn't want to read all of it because you can read that. It's just as humbling as the first one. But Job, being aware of God as never before, responds humbly by submitting to God's sovereignty. And in chapter 42, verse 1, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do all things, and that no plan is impossible for you. Who is this who conceals advice without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I do not know. Please listen, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see. My eyes see you. Therefore I retract. I repent. sitting on the dust and ashes. Job realized his declarations and his challenges to God, the woe is me, was out of line. He is God. God is in charge. While Job had rightly defended himself against his friends' accusations of sin, because remember his friends, his good buddies, trying to figure out what massive sin he had done to bring all this upon himself. This was the beginning of karma, right? And it didn't work out so well then. It doesn't work out so well now either. Job had rightly defended himself against his friends' accusations of sin and had defined his circumstances as being governed by God. He had drawn conclusions about what his affliction meant that did not account sufficiently for what was hidden in the knowledge and purpose of God. He didn't know that Satan was going back and forth between the earth and the throne room. He didn't know God had said, okay, this is your limitation. This is what I'll allow you to do. Oh, this is what we're going to do. God had it all under control. God knew exactly what he was doing. Job was along for the ride. Don't we all do this? Don't we all question God as things aren't going the way we want them? As we look at circumstances in 2020, it's not ours to decide how God is working. It's not ours to decide. Why did God do this pandemic thing? Oh, it's to take out all the left. It's not ours to decide that. Take out the right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, I completely confused that. See, I can't even get it right when I'm looking at it from man's point of view. God, we don't know what God's doing. All we know is God's doing it. We don't know what his plan is other than follow his word, trust the Holy Spirit, and live according in obedience to him. That's what we know. And we know that Christ is coming again. That's what we know. Everything in between, we trust. We trust that God has a plan. As we look at circumstances in 2020, it's not ours to decide how God is working, but to know he is God, and I trust him. Next point, all things, the large and the small, are in his control. Psalm 115:12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord increase you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of the heavens and the earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of mankind. And man, have we messed it up. That's not in there. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time and forever. Praise the Lord. There is no relative scale for God. None of us are worthy, regardless of how the world looks at us. In man's eyes, we might be great, but man is dead. They do not praise the Lord. We may be the smallest, the least consequential. We may feel we amount to nothing, but we, as believers in the Lord, we belong to the Maker of the heavens and the earth. We are blessed and should sing his praises from this time and forever, regardless of the circumstances. Matthew 10:29-31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than any sparrows. Sparrows were thought of as the smallest creatures, and the penny, the Roman Assyrian copper coin, they just call it a penny because it's the closest thing we can get to, right? It was one of the least valuable Roman coins. God is sovereign over even the most insignificant events. It is not who we are, it is who he is. Since the Heavenly Father gives constant sovereign supervision even to the most insignificant creatures, surely he will also care for his children. God is the creator. God has a plan. God is in control. And God works all things together for good. And we all know this one. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. God's sovereign will results in our salvation, our justification, and our glorification with Christ. He has a plan, and He knows what it is. God knew that man would fall. God had a plan for our salvation before Adam and Eve ever ate of the fruit. God knew that some would believe and some would not before time began. He knew the answer for every individual person. In His sovereignty, He declared all who believed to be in Christ. He predestined all those who are in Christ. All who are in Christ are justified. All who are in Christ will be glorified with Christ at His return. So as we close this morning, I want us to reflect back on 2020 with a bit of a different lens. Did God know all this was going to happen in 2020? Yeah, He did. Did God allow or make all this happen? Yes, He did. Was God in control of everything that happened? Yes, He was. Did God lose sight of even the most inconsequential of His creation? No. Will God work everything that has happened in 2020 together for God, for all those who love Him, all those that have been called for His purpose? He will. Then I have to argue that 2020 was not a one star. I do not recommend year. It was an incredible year of opportunity to share the gospel, study the word, readjust our priorities, and to focus on Him instead of our idols. And I pray that God will make 2020 every bit as interesting, every bit as exciting, every bit as valuable to the execution of His plan for all of us to be a part of. John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor fearful." We thank the Lord for all that He did in 2020. We celebrate all that He did in the movement of His plan forward. He is God, and we are not. Praise be to our Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. We thank You that You are God, and we are not. Man, would we mess it up. We've proven it as mankind over and over and over and over and over again that You are God and we are not anywhere near. We try so hard. We try to fix all the things that we think are broke, but it's Your plan that will work. Father, we pray as we go into the closing of 2020 that we can reflect back on the amazing things that happened. And as we think forward to 2021, Father, we just trust that it will be every bit as exciting and crazy and fun and full of joy, the things that You provide us. We know the circumstances may not be great, but You, through the power of Your Spirit, give us the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and kindness and goodness, long-suffering. Father, we thank You for all that You do for us each and every day. In Christ's name, amen.